Doug Scheiding of Rogue Cookers, baseball fan and barbecue world champion. You are listening to the Baseball and Barbecue Show with Lynn and Jeff.
Musics podcast, and you're listening to Jeff and Len on Baseball and Barbecue, one of my favorite podcasts, and I know it's one of yours too. The only problem is, after I get done listening to it, I'm hungry. All right, guys, take it away.
It's bonus time. Welcome to episode number 95 of Baseball and Barbecue. It's a bonus episode. And once again, I'm Len Aberman. I am joined by the big bonus baby, Jeff Cohen.
Bonus baby. Hey, Len, how you doing?
Bonus baby. I looked it up. I believe bonus baby is somebody who was on the team, got a lot of money, right? I think that's what it was, and because they got such a big bonus, they stayed on the team. Is that right?
That's partly accurate. Back in the, I believe the 50s, the 40s and 50s, if you were paid such an amount of money, you had to stay on a team, and that was right. Happened to Sandy Koufax. So he was, you know, Sandy Koufax first couple of years was not Sandy Koufax-like, but he had to stay on a team because of he was a bonus baby. Right. But then, you know, Sandy Koufax became Sandy Koufax.
Yes. And we may be witnessing, well, no, we can't compare anybody to Sandy Koufax, right? But
no.
But right now we are witnessing some greatness with pitching, with Jacob DeGrom, if you want to. He's not Sandy Koufax, obviously, but, you know, only because you can't compare these guys of generations. We've had this talk over and over. Six innings is considered a great start, basically. Yeah, exactly. 6 to 7. Yes. And back then, these guys, you didn't take the ball from them. You know, you would basically take the ball. They had to be writhing in pain on the mound before you took the ball out of their hands.
Exactly right.
You can't. We said it time and time again. You can't compare these guys. You know, this is a bonus episode. But let's tell folks what we have on this episode that they can look forward to, because then they'll fast forward past you and I, and they'll be like, all right, can I just get to the interview?
Right. Right. We're on the road again.
Oh, sing it.
We took our show on the road.
So that's how we should have opened it. We should have played that music, but you did it very well. Yes.
Thank you. Barbecue tour. Yes. Barbecue tour.
Back on the road.
We went to a barbecue restaurant and we did an interview with the proprietor there. And, you know, this is the first time we really got out to a restaurant since, you know, over a year. So it was great to get out there.
Yeah, we went local. It's called Dang Barbecue. And we spoke to the owner, Anthony Mastrantonio. And he was very cordial, you know, very nice guy. He has, I think three barbecue places.
Yes, three locations.
And he took the time to sit with us. It was the morning, and all you could smell was just the sweet scent of barbecue just wafting through the air. And then after we were finished, he gave us some
Burden and a milkshake.
And you picked, I have to say, it was great. Wasn't the shake I would have chosen? What was it? Butter beer, right? It was like a Harry Potter milkshake.
Yeah.
But it was good.
It was good.
So if you're on Long Island, you've got to go to Dang Barbecue. You will really enjoy it. Jeff, Speaking of barbecue, we have to congratulate a past guest of ours. We actually had, at the time, he wasn't in the Hall of Fame yet, but he was on his way. Who knows? Maybe our interview helped him.
I would think so. I would think so. Why wouldn't it?
So, Hall of Famer now, Meathead.
All right. Congratulations, Meathead.
Yeah, from AmazingRibs.com. First of all, such a great guy. He is on the radar. We want to have him back on. We just haven't had the opportunity, but that isn't because he wasn't fantastic. And he is now a barbecue Hall of Famer. So congratulations, Meathead. It is well deserved.
Yes.
It was his third time's the charm. He should have gotten in on the first time, but I don't know. The Veterans Committee, the Barbecue Hall of Fame is a little different than the Baseball Hall of Fame, but very well deserving, and we congratulate Meathead.
Absolutely.
And Jeff, we have something. Listen to this.
It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
I love that.
Sounds like we have mail.
Oh, do we? I just love that song.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we do. We have one of our listeners who has written us in the past. He wrote us a letter, and I will read that to you. We appreciate our listeners so much. And Jeff, while I'm looking for the letter, can you just tell everyone how they can write us or contact us?
Sure. I'm going to go a different order this time. So our website is www.baseballandbbq.weebly.com. Our phone number is 516-855-8214. We have Facebook at Baseball and BBQ. Twitter address is at Baseball and BBQ. YouTube, Baseball and BBQ. Instagram, Baseball and Barbecue, where barbecue is all spelled out. And our email is baseballandbbq@gmail.com. Please rate and review us.
And here is the letter. Hi, guys. Just a note on a discussion in episode 94. You had talked about what a great resource the library at the Hall of Fame is for player information, for book research, and also for family members to find information on their loved ones. This is true, but there is so much more to the library than that. In many ways, it is like your local library, in that it has copies of books and movies that can be viewed. There are also some very interesting items in the holding, including scrapbooks, such as the famous Lou Gehrig scrapbooks that players have donated, scorecards, minutes from league meetings, scouting reports, all kinds of stuff. I am lucky enough to have a friend who was at one time a research assistant in the library. He would give me tours of the holdings. A favorite item was the binder with the official scorecards of National League games. At the time, the binder was open full-time to the page with Jackie Robinson's debut with the Dodgers. Unlike your local library, sadly, you cannot check out items and take them home. Mike. You know, I'm very glad to hear that. It makes me want to go even more during the week to the library. So I want to thank you for writing that letter to us. Baseball Hall of Fame, just a great place. So, luckily, Mike lives up there, and one day, hopefully, we can meet him up there, and we could do a tour. Jeff, do you remember when we went to the Baseball Hall of Fame that one weekend?
No.
You don't remember that?
But every time you go to Baseball Hall of Fame, it's an unforgettable experience.
Yeah. We had Roger. Remember Roger?
I remember that, yes.
And we went in January, and it was unseasonably warm that weekend, if you remember, but Cooperstown was basically, you know, closed down except for like the diner across the street, the little Cooperstown diner. And Roger went into that closet, if you remember, and he brought out, like, I guess a lot of the teams donate things. So he brought out the Toronto Blue Jays catching gear. Mm-hmm. Remember that? And I put on the catching gear.
Yep.
That was fun. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And we spent 2 full days at the Hall of Fame.
You know what? If anybody has a chance to go to Hall of Fame, and it's great any time of year, I would suggest going a little off-season. I mean, it might be a little unseasonably cool up there, but you can experience so much more and without the crowds. It's a great place to go.
Yeah. If you're going, if you're really going just for the Hall of Fame, what's great about it is you don't have to try and, you know, get past people to see things. And, you know, obviously there are things in the city itself in Cooperstown that aren't going to be open, but.
The city is one block long, maybe two.
Right. I know. But there's also, isn't there like the wax museum there?
Yes. That's not open full year round. So right. Check that out.
Right. But the Hall of Fame was great. Speaking of baseball, Jeff, I think you have a baseball rant.
I don't know if I would call it a rant, though. I've been thinking, though, that, you know, we Met fans, we didn't make no bones about that. And they've been rained out 10 times, either rained out, snowed out. Beginning of the year, they were COVID out the first three games of the year. So they have to make up 10 games, which are now going to be part of doubleheaders. Now, that means 20 games have been reduced from 9 innings to 7 innings. So you take 2 innings off each game, you're talking about 40 innings that the Mets will play, 40 innings less that the Mets will be playing than other competition. Now, don't get me wrong. As a Mets fan, it probably benefits the Mets. But I'm thinking, if I'm like the Phillies or the Marlins, like, how fair is that? There's more, you can tire out your bullpen more, you have more susceptible to injury. I mean, it's not fair that you have a different amount of games played. I mean, I know it's the same number of games, but the number of innings is going to be much different. So I don't think that's fair at all.
No. No, it's not. If I was another team, I'd be upset. If I'm in a race with the Mets, and now my bullpen is more rested because they're pitching less innings. My pitchers are rested. Even my regular players, you know, they're not playing the full game. You know, they're
and the Mets have this year at least with DeGrom and Walker and Stroman, and who knows when Carrasco and Syndergaard are coming back. But still, those are pretty good pitchers who can go 6 innings, 7 innings, no problem. So that advantage Mets. Like I said, it benefits the Mets, and we're happy about that. But as a fan of the game, it's not fair at all to other teams.
Right.
And you know what? And the Marlins will never play doubleheaders at home because they have a roof. Neither will the Astros or when the Blue Jays, when they get back to Toronto. And Milwaukee, the teams at Seattle, they're never going to play doubleheaders at home, and they might have to play one or two on the road, but at home that they'll never happen. They all have roofs. How fair is that?
It's not fair. And you want, again, if you're a fan of the game, if you're a fan of the team, you want your team to win. But you know, you want your team to win because they really win. You don't want to have, perfect example, and not to bring this up, but I'm bringing it up. Johan Santana pitches a no hitter for the Mets, right? Upon review, instant replay, there was one ball that was...
Don't give me
Jeff, that. I'm sorry, but...
No, I'll tell you why.
Because okay,
there was
ahead.
A game R.A. Dickey pitched, and he was throwing a no-hitter. It ended up being a one-hitter, but guess what? That one hit, it was a foul ball that was called fair. So that's a no-hitter,
right?
Right?
You're right. You are right. Okay. Forget everything I was saying. Forget it.
It's a no-hitter.
Of course, I agree. It is a no hitter. It's a no hitter. But you don't want any controversy. That's the point. You want your team. Yeah. It's like Peyton Manning winning his Super Bowl, but they won because now you've got the deflated footballs or whatever. This you don't want to have anything. You just want it a pure victory, where nobody could say, oh, but this and that. And that's my point. You just would like to have it where it's just clean.
But I tell you something I will rant on, and that's fundamentals in baseball. They are so lacking in baseball. Unbelievable. Just the other day in a Yankee game, Gary Sanchez was on second base. Ball hit the shortstop. He gets thrown out trying to advance to third. You know, and I get people, my friends say, oh, you know, well, they should be teaching them how to run bases at the major league level. I go, at the major league level? They should know that before they get to the major league level. Heck, I know that in the little league level. You know, and I'm a fan. I mean, you know, what is wrong with these people? What is wrong with the fundamentals of the game? They can't just, you know, you don't try to advance on a ball hit in front of you. I mean, that's basic baseball 101.
What do they do in the minor leagues? What are they teaching them in the minor leagues? Isn't that where you're supposed to be learning that?
Exactly. You're supposed to learn base running and the techniques. Maybe on the major league level, you practice it and reinforce it. But you should know that before you get here. That's absolutely ridiculous, the fundamentals that's happening. And what about that Pittsburgh-Chicago game? Remember, I don't remember the first baseman's name, but Javi Baez had a slow ground. He's running the first base, stops, turns around. It was two outs. All the defensive guy, all the Pittsburgh player had to do was touch first base. Didn't he ran him back? One scored. Turns out he threw the ball. It was a really crapshoot.
Okay, can I be his lawyer for a second and be on the defense here? Okay, sir, my client. It was the heat of the moment. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's easy to it. I'm not saying it, but, you know, to be the Monday morning quarterback, hindsight's 20/20. In the heat of the moment, he got duped.
I understand that. Brain farts happen. It happens. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
And that is just, you know, you can look at the play and say, you know, all he had to do was touch first base and that's it. But in the moment, I'm going to give him that one. So that was a funny play, though.
It was entertaining. It was entertaining, right?
It was very entertaining, yes. Yeah, no, I liked it. Jeff, on another note, let's go back to barbecue. What are you going to be cooking? What have you cooked? How has the season of barbecue been shaping up in the Cohen family?
Well, I think it's going to only get better. I haven't really gotten to the really barbecue, you know, schedule. Mm-hmm. But looks like next couple of weekends is supposed to be good. So I'm definitely going to fire up the Barbie. I'm going to make some hamburgers because I saw a recipe on Elder's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use one of Elder's sauces and make some hamburgers and put it on the grill. Now, I'm not sure what grill I should use. Maybe I'll use the Pit Barrel. Maybe I'll use the Weber. Or the Traeger. I haven't started yet. I know Traeger. I won't be using the Weber bullet smoker because I don't have one of those.
No, right. Okay, so you got 3 out of 4, okay? All it does is make it more confusing as to which one to use.
Exactly.
I have been, I cooked a lot of chicken thighs because we will be having on in the next couple episodes coming up, we will have on Bree Blackford from, as you said,
Elder's Kitchen,
yes. She's a very, very nice person, makes terrific sauces. And I had 3 different sauces, and I had to try them. So I bought a lot of chicken thighs, and I basically was saucing them all and kept them all separate. And I had to have separate brushes. I didn't want to have one sauce touch the other because I wanted to make sure we were doing a taste test. God, I must have had like 24 chicken thighs on the grill, which is a lot for 2 people. We were eating chicken thighs for a long time. But we'll have her on. And, you know, speaking of products, Jeff, we should really mention baseballbbq.com, right? They are a great company. Grilling season, it's baseball season, and Father's Day is coming up, and they have grilling tools and accessories that will really make the baseball fan, the barbecue fan in your life happy. So go to baseballbbq.com. Jeff, I know you just bought some items from there, right?
I did. I bought a birthday gift from them, and it was great service. Very easy to utilize the website. I had the name put on the handle, and I got it within a week. It was just fantastic. And yes, definitely check them out.
They are really nice tools, and they engrave them, like you said. I mean, that's just, and it's, I mean, it's really, really baseball bat handles. It's perfect.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And also don't forget the Pandemic Baseball Book Club.
Of course, we would never forget them. And you know what? As long as we're mentioning companies, fifthandcherry.com for cutting boards. We haven't mentioned them in a while. They have some beautiful cutting boards. So check them out. Also, Father's Day's coming up. A beautiful, nice cutting board is definitely a nice gift. Jeff, what are you getting me for Father's Day? I don't want to know. I don't surprise me. Surprise me. I'm sorry I asked. Just surprise me.
Okay, Dad. Maybe I'll take you out to breakfast.
Oh, nice. Nice. Oh, yeah. Or to Dang Barbecue.
We can go to Dang Barbecue.
Speaking of Dang Barbecue, should we go into the interview?
Absolutely.
Here it is. Baseball and Barbecue, it is about time. The road trip, the barbecue road trip,
continues.
Exactly. We're on the road again, and we're in a local place. We've been passing this place for months and months and months. We've been wanting to. Jeff, how long have we been wanting to stop in here?
About a year.
Right, a year. We are in Dang Barbecue. And guys, this place, you should see. It's Dang, and it looks like almost like if you're a fan of the old Batman with the pow. It's got the thing around Dang that makes it look like it was a punch or something. It's Dang Barbecue. We are with Anthony Mastrantonio. He is the owner, and we couldn't be more excited. We're so glad. Baseball and Barbecue road trip. Here we are. Let's do it.
Okay. Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right. So, Anthony, it's amazing. We're here. It's 10 in the morning. It's a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And it's so funny because most people would say, 10 o'clock, that's early for barbecue. But all of a sudden, we walk in here. I smell some wonderful things going on.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm getting... I don't care what time of day it is. There's always time. It's always time for barbecue. Yes.
Yeah.
What do you have cooking in the kitchen right now?
Well, we start early. Our brisket, our pork butts, those all take upwards of 10 to 12 hours to smoke. So, you know, we start early in the morning to have them ready, you know, by opening. So they're in there going. You know, our ribs, our chicken, our sausage, things like that, a little bit less time. But, they're more around the four to six hour range. So the guys are in here early in the morning, you know, loading the smokers, you know, getting those going and getting ready for the day. So, you know, a lot goes into it. A lot of babysitting the wood, babysitting the smoke. So,
now you have three locations.
Yes.
Now, when we spoke on the phone, you said that you do some smoking of certain meats at each location. Then what do? You bring them over to the other?
Right. Well, our flagship, our first store was in Islip. Which is in Suffolk County, and we have our big, you know, granddaddy, you know, big smoker over there. So, you know, during the busy season, they're doing the heavy lifting on the larger cuts of meats. You know, we have our pit master over there, Brian. He works basically, you know, through the night, you know, 6 days a week, you know, smoking all the larger cuts of meat. So all our brisket and pork butts and whatnot are being done and prepped over there. And then they're being, some smoking is being done here during the day, for that, but it's being supplemented from the Islip store. And then the new location in Hop Hog is our newest spot, and that's a little bit different than the traditional barbecue places. So what we have there is, we're calling that the Dang Barbecue Cantina. It's more of a pub and bar and restaurant set up in a place called Simplay, which is in Hop Hog. And Simplay is a complete sports simulation and interactive gaming center where you could actually play any sport from golf to hockey to dodgeball. And, you know, it's a really popular place. It's really, you know, we're really excited about it. So, you know, having this kind of marriage between Dang Barbecue and Simplay is exciting.
And we're here in the Seaford location on Merrick Road for those who are on Long Island. So you said you smoke go through the night. So you would start the brisket, what, 6 in the morning to be able to have for the dinner rush?
No, more like 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, get that fire going to get it done by lunch. Yeah, the fire gets started actually closer to midnight, and they start loading the smoker, because once you get the fire going, you have to get the smoker going, and you have to get the wood down to where it's producing the right kind of smoke. You know, you don't want to put it in right away because you get black smoke right away. So they start loading that smoker up around midnight to get the fire going. You know, they're trimming down everything with the meat, peeling the ribs, doing all that stuff through the night. So the guys who work overnight in Islip, they're working from like midnight on. So
now, Anthony, let's talk about brisket for a second. Okay, we jump around here. So I'm going to try and stay on target here. The smokers that you're using. I happen to know that there's another barbecue place, which will remain nameless, that a couple of years ago had an issue because neighbors were complaining. I don't know how anyone would ever complain about the smell, but I guess if there's constant barbecue smell, they were complaining about it, and there was some system they had to put in to get rid of that smell.
It's a scrubber system.
Okay, do you have that?
Over here, we haven't had the need for it because we're not smoking at the level here that they were doing at that other location.
Right.
And also, they have houses literally right behind their location.
Right.
We have
okay.
a little bit of a cushion. We have a municipal lot in between. So our neighbors have been great. It's a passive smell, you know, that's coming from here, but nothing. Right. It's been a diner for years. You know, another issue that the other location had was they took over a place that wasn't previously a restaurant, mm-hmm. I believe. And so I think the neighbors around here are just used to, you know, the food smells in the morning. So this place has been a landmark diner for over 30 years over here.
Right.
The Seaford Palace Diner. And so the neighbors who are closest to us were probably used to the smell of, you know, eggs and,
right.
you know, burgers cooking and things like that through the night, early in the morning. You know, diner hours are right. open at night. So we're open basically just from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. So, right. you know, we're not really, you know, doing anything different than hasn't been done here for years. So
it's just a new smell, basically. You know, it's
a little bit different.
Yeah. Right. Now, what kind of smokers are you using here, at least in the Seaford location?
The company's called J&R. They're located in Texas. They've made the smokers that we have in both places. We also have, there's another company called Cook Shack that makes smaller smokers that work out really well for us. So we have a couple of Cook Shack smokers and we have a J&R smoker.
So you're burning wood. I mean, it's... Yeah, so you got to keep those pits have to be watched constantly.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you know, the modern smokers, you know, whether you're using the brands that we use or even the Southern Pride or Old Hickory type smokers, they all right. have sensors. It's not, you know, it's not exactly, you know, what you might find along the side of the road in South Carolina where, you know, they build something out of a 55-gallon drum and they just know by feel how temperature. I mean, there's temperature gauges that, you know, it lets you know where you need to be. So I can't sit here and claim to be one of these old-time pitmasters that, you know, really, by looking at the fire, you can tell you the temperature of it. You know, we have modern technology helping us as well.
So you get, obviously, you have a constant source of wood. Where do you get this wood sourced from?
We have a couple different suppliers, but they're locally sourced. We use cherry wood and oak. Basically, believe me, it's not that easy, but we've been calling around, but we have a source that's out in Suffolk County. He drops off the cords of wood, you know, to both places. So,
yeah, I would imagine you're going through a lot of wood.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hardest part about it is stacking it all up when it comes in. You know, they drop it by the cord, and they just drop it in our parking lot over an ice slope, and then we have to stack it all up, and then we split it, and we bring what they need out here to Seaford. So, you know, we load up a truck, and we send it out here. So,
where did you come up with the name Dang from?
Dang Barbecue was a name that I had come up with years and years before. I had gone to school in Tallahassee, Florida State. My wife and I both went to school there. And our kids were all raised kind of, so my wife's from Florida. And I fell in love with barbecue while in Tallahassee back in the early 90s. And that time in New York, there was no such thing as barbecue was cooking in your backyard, grilling. You know, we call that barbecue up here. So, I mean, there were places that had ribs, you know, but really there wasn't any true, like, southern kind of barbecue type places, you know. We loved going on road trips, taking the kids. I have five kids, and we would take road trips down to Florida. And I had always made a point to where I wanted to get some dang barbecue when I get down there. And don't forget my barbecue, and, you know, I want my dang. You know, dang was just a word we used a lot, just as it's an adjective that can mean whatever you want it to mean.
Right.
So that just became kind of like our little catchphrase. You know, we're going to get some dang barbecue when we go down to the dang south. I guess I probably threw on some sort of offensive southern accent when I did it. But it's all in love with my friends in the south. But anyway, that's just kind of how it became about. So I said, you know, when we, if we open a barbecue place, it's definitely going to be called Dang Barbecue. And sure enough, it's been about 4 years now, we had an opportunity on this location in Islip. You know, it was a friend of mine owned the spot, and she had some health issues, and it was right down the block from a catering hall that I own. So that's my principal business. I've been in the catering business for years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Grown up in the food business. I've always been a chef, been working in kitchens my whole life, and previously owned a restaurant that did some smoking back before that. And I sold the restaurant to save one of the smokers. So I kept one of my my cook shacks then, and I built a catering business. I built a catering business out of that, doing off-premise catering. So we'd been doing that for about 4 or 5 years. So the barbecue had really grown, and we'd really been working on our craft with smoking, doing food shows and street fairs and things like that. So when this opportunity came on, you know, came about in Islip, we kind of jumped at it, and we built it up. And my daughter, who she's 24 now, so at the time she was only about 20 years old, she decided that she came home from college and it wasn't really working out for her. She didn't really enjoy it. And she was going to school out on the West Coast, out in Oregon. And we kind of partnered up on this idea for Dang Barbecue. So Taryn, my daughter, she's the idea, you know, the idea mastermind behind all the milkshakes that we do. So that's the, kind of one of our signature things that we do at Dang Barbecue is we do all these crazy milkshakes.
Ah.
Milkshake counter. So, you know, the Dang Barbecue is basically known for two things. It's barbecue and it's milkshakes. So I'm the brains behind all the silly sandwiches and the crazy names like the Apocalypse Now and the Brisky Business and Jurassic Pork, those things are okay. And then she does all the milkshakes. So it's, and it's been great. You know, it's grown from there. So
two of my favorites,
family
Jeff.
Business.
Yeah. Family business and barbecue and milkshakes.
Yeah.
Oh boy. I didn't even know about the milkshakes. Now, this is wow. Now, you know, Anthony, New York is not known, you know, we've New York now is becoming much more known as a barbecue place. Mm-hmm. Jeff and I have had the fortune, been fortunate enough to have gone to some great New York places, but New York isn't known for a flavor profile for barbecue, right? So how do you determine the flavor profile you're going to use for this area?
Okay, so I'm going to not so slyly drop a name here, but we were on TV last year on the show called Burgers, Brew, and Q with Michael Simon. And Michael Simon is like
sure.
a fantastic chef. And
mm-hmm.
he owns Mabel's Barbecue in Cleveland.
Cleveland, Ohio, yes.
And mm-hmm. Mighty Quinn's that opened up in the city that's now in Garden City. You know, the chef there had worked under Michael. And we were kind of talking about that then because, again, Cleveland is not known for barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
New York is not necessarily known for its own signature barbecue, the way like Memphis is or Kansas City is
right.
or Carolinas are. So, you know, he said when people ask him, he just says it's Cleveland barbecue. And, you know, it's just how we do it. And I guess drawing inspiration from that, I said, well, yeah, we're kind of New York barbecue because we're in New York, we're a melting pot. We are basically, you know, an amalgam of all different types of people, all different types of food. So, you know, it would make sense that, like, New York barbecue is taking a little bit from here, a little bit from there, and kind of making our own thing out of it. So, you know, when we do brisket, we do our brisket very much like they do it in Texas, where it's just a classic salt and pepper rub that we sprinkle on it.
Right.
You know, the pork is more of, you know, Carolina style, you know, the way
mm-hmm.
we do it. So, you know, you take influence from here and there and,
right.
and you just kind of build your own thing, you know, we just kind of make it the way we like it, you know, so that's kind of the way, you know, the way
yeah.
we've kind of
I like that too. I mean, it's eclectic, it's right, it's you're not any particular any one style. And you know, one day, and I was gonna actually I was gonna close with this, but I can't, I gotta just say it right now, one day someone's gonna say, you know how they say Texas barbecue, Carolina barbecue, one day someone's gonna say, yeah, we New York style barbecue.
That plays a long way off, Len. So, Anthony, you've been opening this location in Seaford for about a year now, and it's during the pandemic. How's it going? I mean, how's business doing?
It could be better, of course. I mean, the pandemic hit 5 weeks after we opened. So when we opened, you know, obviously we opened to the new store buzz. We're very busy. You know, anytime you open a new location, it takes you, you know, a good month to 2 months to get your staff in there, proper rhythm. So, you know, we felt like we never really got our feet on the ground. You know, when we opened up, it was, you know, working out the kinks. You know, this store is twice the size of the one we have in Islip. You know, training new staff, getting everybody. And we tried to take as much time as we could before we opened to get everybody trained. I mean, we took a month to train people. And even then, we weren't ready for just the absolute wave. You know, the support from the local community was amazing. And then all that just abruptly stopped right around St. Patrick's Day last year. It was March 16th when it all stopped. And then we had to build up as a new establishment from there, one that was focused on takeout. So we, you know, we kind of tried to, like, roll with the punches and change the best we could. You know, we added some stuff last spring. You know, our dang marketplace where we're doing like food that you could heat and serve at home. We thought that would be something that would be really popular, and that was doing pretty well. And then all the while, you know, we never closed. We stayed open the whole time. You know, retained as much staff as was willing to stay on with us. You know, some people weren't comfortable, and you know they left. Anyone who left, you know, no hard feelings, they left. You know, and then, you know, basically what we tried to do through all this is trying to continue what we were doing in Islip, is we kind of reached out to the community, letting people know, hey, we're here, we're open, if you need food, because people were losing their jobs, people were behind on, you know, you gotta realize, if you go back 11 months, so a month into this pandemic, we didn't know what kind of help we were gonna get. We didn't know about PPP, we didn't know about the mandates of, you know, rent relief or any of these other things. People just knew that they were out of work and they were in trouble. So we kind of, you know, took my last few dollars. I made a commercial basically letting people know, hey, if you need food, we're here, you know, because we're making the food anyway. I don't want to throw it out. So I'd rather just feed people. So if you know anyone, and we're still doing that now. We're doing that for anyone. It's very, you know, well-received in Islip, you know, out there, because, again, we're established in the community. And out here, we've been doing pretty well. I mean, we're recognized, you know, from the town of Hempstead for some of the help that we've been doing in the Hempstead area and other surrounding areas. So, you know, we're just, like I said, we're here as new neighbors, but we didn't really even get a chance to meet our neighbors. So, you know, we, despite the pandemic, we're growing, and numbers have been coming back gradually, and we're excited for this. We almost want like a do-over. You know, I almost said, like, you know, once they say, all right, it's 100%, I think we'll just have another grand opening and say, okay, you know, let's try this again, because we have a lot of plans for things that we want to do for the area, you know.
So not like a grand reopening, like another grand opening.
A do-over. I want to call it a do-over. Right. You know, this is right.
A mulligan.
Yeah.
It's a mulligan.
Like, okay. I think everyone could agree that 2020, we just assumed it didn't happen, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, 2021 has just been the sequel. It's just been so far the same
right.
thing.
You know, the like, not wanted sequel.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's the sucky
it's
sequel. Right.
That's actually, that's giving too much credit to the first one. 2020 wasn't Caddyshack. It was, so this might be Caddyshack 3. You know, as everyone's saying, but said to death, right? It is what it is. You know, it's just, it is what it is. It's
right.
just, you know, we're doing all right. You know, I feel like it's given us an opportunity to kind of take a step back and build up the restaurant that we want to have,
right.
You know, and, you know, we're really happy with it. And we're just excited for what it will be, you know, come summertime. We know that come summertime, people will be, you know, coming back outside, doing outdoor barbecues. You know, we can now focus on, you know, some of the catering that we do. We have a food truck.
One thing about Long Island, I think everywhere in the country, actually, but Long Island, when you have good food, a restaurant with good food, it's packed. You know, if it's not the pandemic, you people, will be packed.
People will wait. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You build it, they will come. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I've been in Long Island my whole life. I love it, you know, and I've done all types of food all over. Yeah. But,
so you know.
The idea of bringing barbecue, food that I love from the South, bringing it up to my home, you know, my home area, you know, I grew up in Suffolk County. I grew up in Islip, right near where the first store was. But just getting to know the people out here in Seaford, I love this town as well, because Seaford, to me, is almost identical to Islip in a lot of ways, to where it's a community within, you know, an area that's surrounded by larger communities. So you have Massapequa right to the west, and you have Belmore. You have bigger towns around Seaford. Seaford's kind of the smaller town surrounded by larger towns. And that's kind of what Islip is. Islip's surrounded by, you know, Bayshore and West Islip. And the bigger school districts, bigger towns. So the friends I've made here in Seaford, you know, I see a lot of the same, like, parallels to what, you know, we had out there in Islip. You know, this tight-knit community, you know, Main Street, you know, out there is Main Street. Here's Merrick Road. It's don't forget about us. It's not all about Massapequa. Seaford's right here, too. You know?
That's right.
So you have three locations, as you said. Any plans for having more?
Right now, no. I mean, right now, you know, the idea is we want to build, you know, these three to their fullest potential. I mean, the opportunity that came up in Hop Hog just kind of presented itself. You know,
yeah, that's cool, though.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I want to go to that.
You definitely should. Definitely should. Any sports fans out there, I mean, it is an experience unlike any other. It, you know, we called it, you know, it's funny, we're trying to market it, and we're like, this is like an adult playground. for a date night, you can go out there and just sitting down with my partners over there thinking about, like, all right, how can we market this and let people know that there are games you can play. You can play a round of golf at Pebble Beach. You know, you could play St. Andrew's Golf Course in Scotland. You know. So if golf is your thing, this place is amazing for golf. And even better is if you're like me, to where, yeah, you like golf, but you don't love golf, this place is even better. Because for me, you know, speaking as a hacker that goes out there, it can be an embarrassing day. If I'm having a bad day, it can be embarrassing. So this experience eliminates the trying to find the seven balls I'm going to lose on the front nine alone. You know, trying to hit a shot from somebody else's fairway. You know, being 50, 60 yards behind the rest of my foursome as, like, I'm being stared at by the foursome behind me because I'm jamming up their day. Like, none of that exists. You're in your own private simulator. It's the coolest thing. And this big screen, like the size of a movie screen that you're hitting into, and the graphics, it's all, like, the way it's, like, laser-tracked. After every shot, you get complete statistics on your shot. So it shows you the speed of your club head, you know, how fast the ball left, the launch angle. So all those sabermetrics that you get from baseball, right, now, you're going to get from golf. You know?
Right.
So, you know, how much have we heard about, like, launch angle and exit velocity?
Please.
Things like that.
Yeah, Jeff, we're not fans of that.
No, neither am I. When it comes to baseball, neither am I. I like your spin rate one more time for a pitcher. I'm like, come on. It doesn't matter. Like, he's got a high spin rate. I'm like, but he's getting crushed. You know?
Right.
You know, they want to eliminate statistics like wins and losses and, you know, ERA, they even say, isn't, like, an important stat. But they're just pitchers growing up watching. You know, I've been a Yankee fan since the 70s. And I always feel like I have to say since the 70s because there's a lot of people I'm going to be 50 this year. And there are a lot of people my age that are Yankee fans. But if somebody my age says they're a Yankee fan, you know, I'll ask them, what number was Andy Stankiewicz? And if you can't tell me, then you weren't really a Yankee fan. You know, if you don't remember, you know, the Kevin Moss years, you know. Well, Steve Balboni, he was came up with Mattingly, and he went to the Royals. So, you know, luckily they decided on Mattingly, not Balboni, because during those years, it wouldn't be a shock for them to keep Balboni and trade away Mattingly for, like, an aging pitcher. Because that was Jay Buhner, that was Doug Drabeck, Bob Tewksbury, like, everybody that was a decent prospect, they traded away for all the Dennis Rasmussens of the world. And the Yankees were the Yankees back then would have been great today because with the wild card, you know, they were always in second place.
Right.
It was a different first place team every year, and they would win 90 games every year, but they never made it to the playoffs.
No.
You know, with Ricky Henderson. They never made it to the playoffs.
They didn't have pitching.
No.
They always needed pitching.
They would bring in all the Andy Hawkins and you know, Tommy Johns of the world at the end of their career, and it was like, you know, I think at one time their pitching rotation had, like, Phil Niekro. They had, like, all the, like, Tommy John, Phil Niekro. I don't know if they were in the same year, but they had, like, all these guys that were Hall of Famers, but just it was over, right. You know. And you know, Steinbrenner didn't care. He was just like, you know, and believe me, I love George Steinbrenner. I love the fact that it was an owner that cared that much, you know. You said before you're a Met fan,
yeah, so Mike, we have one now.
Well, that's got to be great, though, because I would think as a fan, you want your owner to be that.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I used to make fun of, you know, this is going to come off wrong, but, you know, as sports fans growing up in a group of guys, when you're different fans within a group, you know, the Jets fans and the Giants fans are always at each other's throats, and the Yankee fans and the Met fans, the you know, the Ranger fans and the Islander fans, and within the same group of guys I hang out with, you know, I have a friend who's a Yankee fan, but he's also a Jets fan, and I'm a Giants fan and a Yankee fan. So half the year we got along fine, and half the year we didn't. But part of it was, you know, I couldn't imagine having an owner that, you know, wasn't willing to spend, or, like, got into financial problems with Bernie Madoff and the Bobby Bonilla deal and all these things that just haunted them. And it was just like, well, just get over it. You're in New York market. Get over it. You know, this isn't Kansas City Royals.
Right. No.
Let me bring this back to barbecue for a minute. Barbecue. Yeah.
No way.
No, we love baseball. Come on.
Right.
If I could make money in baseball, I would do that.
You know what, though? Notice how baseball and barbecue is the perfect Reese's. We are a Reese's peanut butter cup. They go great together. Yeah. So I'm glad that we brought baseball in. Yeah. And now Jeff is bringing it back to barbecue, which is shocking the heck out of me.
On your rare day off, because you open 7 days, you're cooking all the time, you have a rare day off, you're home with the family, you're in the backyard, you're going to cook. What are you cooking back there?
Okay, well, all right. So full disclosure, truthfully, if I have a day off, which we do, I have been working 7 days a week, but if I have a day off and I'm going to be doing barbecue, I'm probably doing something more like a shorter smoke, like ribs. I'm probably going to be doing ribs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just being honest, I have somebody that can do brisket for me, and it's the way I do brisket. So if I'm going to do brisket at home, you know, we have the guys at the restaurant do brisket. So if I'm going to do it like home smoking, it's going to be ribs. It's going to be, you know, I really enjoy chicken thighs. You know, like you can do a lot with chicken thighs. But truthfully, you know, the chef in me tends to do more other type of stuff at home. So I might do like a Jamaican jerk chicken. I might do a, you know, a different type of thing. And we try to do that here too. We try to like infuse different things because it's fun. It's fun to like infuse barbecue. You can infuse barbecue into any cuisine. You can do that literally with anything. So, you know, doing barbecue egg rolls and empanadas and things like that. People really, you know, it's just a cool, different little thing that we can do here. And it goes over really well. People like it.
Do you do anything for like Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Cinco de Mayo, we have on our menu a barbecue. We call them smokehouse tacos, where you get a choice of whatever of our meats. You can have the pulled chicken or pork. You know, and the pork tacos are phenomenal. Brisket. And so we'll do a special with our tacos. We'll do more drink specials with that. You know, like we'll bring in like a Modelo or something like that, you know, and do specials like that on tap. You know, we'll probably add in some extra little things like little quesadillas or burritos, you know, things that we could add in. But it'll be barbecue-centric, so we'll... I let the chefs go nuts with that.
Now, do you notice that as the TV shows, the, you know, the reality shows on Netflix or whatever, maybe there's more focus on Texas barbecue like Aaron Franklin. Do you notice that there's more of a demand for a certain type of food? And in my mind, when I ask that question, I'm thinking brisket. But maybe it's something else. I don't know.
Brisket, I mean, we fly through brisket here. The one item that we run out of every day that we just can't even keep in is our burnt ends. So, you know, for anyone who's familiar with barbecue, burnt end is the part of the brisket that comes off the top, the decal, the point mm-hmm. of the brisket. And it's just like, you know, we call it meat candy. It just flies. It's our most popular item. So, you know, people, the word gets out, people know about that. People get angry. You know, they come in, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, and they order, like, you know, we sold out, you know, and right. Like, how could you not have more? It's like, believe me, I'd love to, but you have to smoke a 14-pound brisket to pull 3 pounds or 4 pounds of decal off of it. It's the bigger part of the brisket is the flat, you know, or the first cut, you know, the bottom.
See, the difference is in a place like Texas, they wait in line. Okay, at all these places, all you hear is they line up early in the morning. I mean, Franklin's is the one everybody knows, but there's other places. They wait in line early in the morning, and when they sell out, they sell out. And that's it, and they close. Yeah. Whereas you don't have that luxury.
Nope.
And so it's almost like you have to have food constantly, and you don't want to have a ton of leftovers. So how do you figure that out? That's got to be a hard balancing act.
I mean, you set your numbers out, and at some point, you know, certain things will run out during the night. You know, any good barbecue place, it's going to happen, you know. So at a certain point during the night, believe me, we don't want to run out of ribs, you know, but we don't want to have leftover ribs either. I'd rather run out at a certain point during the night than, you know, because we don't reuse the meat. So if we have ribs over at the end of the night, we'll pull those down, and we'll chop that meat up and put that in our chili, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll do like a... you know, a boneless rib sandwich kind of a thing, you know, but we won't serve those ribs the next day as
right.
ribs. We smoke all our ribs for that day. I mean, our barbecue chili is pretty cool. Like, we actually use all of the different meats that we have. So our chili has brisket and sausage and
pork.
So it's, so it's more like a cross between a chili and like a Brunswick stew.
But yeah.
It's more like has the chili taste profile. And yeah, I mean, like, you know, so we do different things on the menu that obviously, you know, you would use, using air quotes, like leftovers for like our empanadas and things like that. But generally speaking, we want to run out. You know, we want to run out. I mean, the New York consumer isn't like the Southern, you know, the people in Texas, they understand that, you know, and it's just, we're not as New Yorkers programmed to stand in line all day to wait for something on the offshoot chance that you're not going to get it. I mean, I can't imagine the people that I and friends with waiting online for an hour to get to the front of the line to have like the window closed. I mean, they would lose their minds. So, you know, believe me, I'd love to have a place like that, but, you know, you have to kind of balance that.
Anthony, have anybody given you any unusual requests for going off the menu?
Yeah, I mean, people have. You get a lot of times with people who travel and they've tasted different things. I've had people come in. Sometimes, you know, if you come to me and you say, hey, have you ever tried smoking... whatever, lamb or smoking, you know, some other different type of meat. you know, usually the answer is if we thought it would sell, we would put it on the menu. But privately, I'll try smoking anything. You know, I've had people ask me, the big thing that we get a lot of requests for is the beef bones, like the monster bones.
Mm, yes.
You know, there's some barbecue places that are, you know, do a really great beef rib. And we'll bring them in every once in a while as a special. They're phenomenal. It's just like, it's one of those things where if we're going to bring them in, we want to sell them out. You know, because, again, it's a higher price point item. You know, it's something that you're not going to get for $15, $16 when you come in to buy it. It's going to be a $30 plus meal. But it's an unbelievable item. We'll get requests for it, and we just try to gear that towards a busier night. So we might bring that in for a Saturday night, or we might bring that in for, you know, for a weekend, you know. Yeah, I haven't gotten any crazy requests. No one's asked for anything like frog legs or anything, but, you know.
I'll say rabbit or something like that.
No, I haven't gotten rabbit.
Or gator.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, I love traveling around. I mean, my dream retirement would be to be like one of those like Travel Channel shows where you just travel the world and just eat their food. You know, that would sign me up for that. I'd love that. Even the weird stuff. Even that Andrew Zimmern show where he just goes and eats mm-hmm. like...
You know, you're talking about running out, and it's not like if you went to a diner, let's say, and you wanted a burger. You know, I'm sure they could have a burger in the freezer that they could put on the griddle. You know, if you're out of ribs, it's not like you could say, oh, yeah, you got 5 hours, you got 6 hours, right. We'll just smoke some for you. Well, so, you know, that's the thing.
We have another great barbecue place right down the road. I think you alluded to him before, Smoking Al's. And Al and I have talked. And you know, he's a great guy. It's great. We have tons of respect for them. But it's the same thing. You're going to Smoking Al's. You're going to Dang Barbecue. You're getting fresh smoked ribs.
Right.
If you're going to like Chili's and getting their baby back ribs, that they will not run out of that because they're getting that in frozen, they're steaming it, and you know that's what that is. That's a chain. That's not the same thing. So if you're going to a true barbecue restaurant, and I have all the respect in the world for Al, or anybody that's in this business. You know, the guys out Rolling Smoke is another great barbecue place out in Ronkonkoma. You know, the guys over at Mighty Quinn's, obviously. I mean, like, the guys who are really doing the right thing. If you go into them and they run out, believe me, they didn't want to run out. They wanted to make money off of your purchase.
Right.
Somebody got there first, and you know, they got the product that they wanted to sell. So that's basically, you know, what you're dealing with. If you want to go to a place that's never going to run out of ribs, you know, go to a chain place and they're going to pull it out of the freezer
and the quality suffers.
Well, yeah, it's going to be like a heavily sauced rib that's, you know, not going to have any smoke flavor on it, and it's, you know.
Yeah, sauces. What do you use? Do you make your own sauce, or is it something special that you order?
Yeah, we make our own sauces. We have 5 different house barbecue sauces, and then we have about 20, well, including those 5, another 15 different wing sauces that we do, and we make them all in-house.
I heard about the wing sauce, the hot, that you were making at one time.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, our walk-through fire, or we call WTF sauce, it's so hot you had to sign a waiver to do it, and we'll still have that. We're waiting for the pandemic to die down because we won't send that out to go. We don't trust you with that. You know, we want to see you eat that in front of us because we don't want anyone hurting themselves with it. So
maybe that would have. Yeah, can you imagine that? That sauce might have been so hot it might have killed the COVID.
Sitting in this restaurant, we're looking like we're walking through fire because that's the decorations all around here.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's right.
Hand painted.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I would never have guessed.
So he was up on a scaffold for a couple of weeks doing that while we were building this. She did great work.
We are here with Anthony Mastrantonio. We could talk for hours, which, as you listeners know, we do. But we're going to let him get back to his thing. He's got 3 restaurants to run, plus he's got a catering place. But guys, anyone who's in the vicinity, you got to check this place out. Any of his 3 places, Dang Barbecue. Give him your support, and whether you know the food is going to be fantastic, so you're not going to be sorry. But let's support our barbecue places during the pandemic, after, and just enjoy yourself. The food, I'm telling you, I'm smelling it. You got to come here. That's all I'm saying.
Do you have any social media that you want to promote?
Sure. We have it's Dang Barbecue, at Dang Barbecue on Instagram, also Dang Barbecue Seaford, and Dang Barbecue, it's BBQ, I keep saying barbecue, but Dang BBQ, Dang BBQ Seaford, or Dang BBQ Cantina, all on Instagram, also on Facebook, and I think that's it. I don't think, we don't keep up with the Twitter account if we have one, but my daughter, again, My daughter's the technological...
Family business.
Yep, yep.
Jeff, I make an appeal like that. I make an appeal like that, and then you... Do you have any social media? So I forgot. I know, I want to. I feel bad. I almost like was ending it, and then...
Well, we are going to let Anthony go. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
No problem, Jeff. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony. Dang Barbecue, if you're on Long Island. Actually, even if you're not on Long Island, it might be worth the trip.
Come to Long Island.
Right, exactly. Some people travel for their barbecue. So his barbecue is excellent. And not only is barbecue, it is milkshake. So.
Yes.
Jeff, the next episode, this was our bonus episode. The next episode, we're going to have part two of George Georgiadis. And we're going to have Andrew Marinus, who wrote a book called Singled Out, right?
Yes.
The Glenn Burke story. You are not going to want to miss that episode. I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to.
It's a wonderful, wonderful book. A sad book. I would say a sad book, but the life that Glenn Burke led as a baseball player is something that everybody should read.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's very well written, and it's very good. So that is on the next episode. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody. That's going to be episode 96.
Yes.
Right? Jeff, I know we don't want to leave, but let's, what's the expression? Leave them wanting more?
Exactly.
So we want to just say thank you to everyone. Thank you to all our listeners. Thank you to our guests. And we leave you with the poet, Shel Krakowski, the musician, Dave Dresser, and baseball always brings you home. Thanks for listening, guys.
See you next time.